हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् ॐ हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ यश्छन्दसाम् ऋषभो विश्वरूपः ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः
ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिः
ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः
ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः
साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम
साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम
द्वितीयोऽध्यायः
द्वितीयोऽध्यायः
श्रीभगवानुवाच
श्रीभगवानुवाच
अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः इन् द प्रीवियस् क्लास् वी सा दि नेचर् आफ् पेर्स् आफ् आपोसिट्स् द डिज़ैरबल् एण्ड् दि अन्डिज़ैरबल् सिचुवेशन्स् विच् इनेविटेबलि choicelessly happen in our lives. How do these pairs of opposites, pain or pleasure, cold or heat, basically you can say pain and pleasure, if you take only these two, all other things, all other pairs of opposites can be reduced to two things, pain and pleasure. Mana, apamana, honor and dishonor, honor and dishonor, victory and defeat, no failure and success and failure, no the heat and cold, all these pairs of opposites, desirable and the undesirable, these pairs of opposites can be reduced to one thing called sukham and dukkham, pain and pleasure. This pain and pleasure, pain is a state of mind, pleasure also is a state of mind, okay. How whatever happens externally, how it results in surfacing or manifesting as pain and pleasure in the mind, as a states of mind, how do they happen, and for which for this pain or pleasure to surface, to happen, there must be perception should take place. It means sense powers, the senses should definitely come in contact with the external world. Then when the senses come in contact with the external world, they give rise to these pairs of opposites. And pairs of opposites ultimately become what? Either it will be a pain or there will be pleasure. And we have no say over that. Whatever it is. And he says, they come and go. All the pairs of opposites which are external, and the pain and the pleasure which you experience, which you go through from the states of mind, pain also comes and goes, pleasure also comes and goes. That is the nature of the pair, any of these pairs of opposites, because it comes and goes. Agama payinaha anityaha tan titikshasva. So may you learn to endure them. We saw the first thing. Then the next mantra, then the next shloka, Krishna says, because I say mantra, because Gita shlokas are as good as mantras. Because Gita is as good as Upanishad. The word comes like that. It becomes mantra. Anyway, Shlokaha. The next shloka, he says, how, forbearing or enduring those pairs of opposites, will result in blessing you with the knowledge of the self, which is in fact one becoming immortal. Amritatvaya kalpate. Amritatvam, I said, amrita, mrita means dead. Amrita means, not dead. And then amritatvam. Amritatvam, in fact, is immortality. The attaining the status of being being an immortal. You can never become immortal. You're already immortal. What is already immortal? The self is already immortal. Therefore, one attains immortality means one understands the reality, the absolute reality as the very self, which is not subject to any mortality, death or change or destruction. So this understanding itself is understanding the self itself, is understanding happiness and limitlessness, which is becoming free from all bondage and all limitations, which is freedom. So Amritattvam also stands for attaining immortality, means attaining also mokshaha, attaining freedom from limitations. One becomes completely free from all limitations. Amritattvam ashnute, amritattvaya kalpate. It paves way for attaining immortality. How? By blessing, one becomes blessed with the knowledge. If one has to be blessed with the knowledge of the self, that means he must be prepared for that knowledge. How he must be mentally pure, he must be steady. So he becomes pure and steady, and that means he enjoys the contemplative disposition which results in this ascertained vision of the reality, which is in fact immortality. That for which the one who remains unshaken, unmoved by these paths of opposites, the one who is not tossed by these paths of opposites, saha amrutatvaya kalpate. Yam purusham ete na vyathayanti, really do not affect them. Such a person becomes. And who is the person who remains unafflicted by those, affected by those paths of opposites? One who looks at them with sameness of mind. Who can remain, that is the main thing, I explained to you last class, who can remain unaffected by the paths of opposites? Who can remain this one who remains the same? Who is the one who remains the same, who takes them both pains and pleasures with equanimity, with sameness of mind? Samadukha sukaha. Who takes both of them with sameness of mind? One who can look at them, one who can look at them as prasada. And looking at, how can one look at it prasada? How can one remain unaffected? It's not that easy. How can one look at them as prasada? Only if he sees whatever happens in life is the result of some karma, some previous action. That means the one who sees the cause behind one, even though the cause is not seen, one who understands the cause being there behind everything that happens. And not only that, one also sees whatever happens, the result of the past karma, which are determined by the natural laws. And those laws are part and parcel of the universe, which is Bhagavan, the Lord. So, I have certain basic understanding of the Lord being the whole. If the whole Jagat is Bhagavan and the laws, the natural laws which govern the results of actions, all that, whoever is subject to any pain or any pleasure, all those things are really properly determined by the natural laws. That is why what seems to be disorder for us, really speaking, is in proper perfect order. Now, we always, it's not nice. Whatever seems to be disorder for us, in fact, really speaking, is in perfect order. That's why it's happening. I said, the thing is a cause behind it. So, once I look at everything as ordained by the natural laws, then I look at the laws as Bhagavan, as Ishvara, then I can look at the law-ordained results, law-ordained situations, which happen to me, which happen for everybody and anybody, for me also. Anything that happens anywhere, anytime, that is this prasadaha. It is choiceless, inevitable. Then when I look at it as prasada, then I understand, it's a mature way of looking at it, then I take it. I also understand one more thing, it comes and goes. It is law ordained, I have no say over it, and it comes and goes. Then I can remain same to any situation. Because I am interested in something timeless end. So these time-bound things, which I have no say, it comes and goes. With this understanding, helps a person accept them with sameness of mind, and such a person, in fact, in due course of time, becomes ready for contemplation. He becomes pure mentally. He becomes steady mentally. He becomes ready for contemplation. He will be contemplative. He will understand the Swarupam. Such a person is ready for, qualified for Amritattvam, attaining Mokshaha. It is said something, the person can always wait. This is where hope, no? We don't feel hopeless. We have some hope. And then, not some hope, we have full hope, okay? And we can really wait for that. Krishna talks about it. And one more thing, because it should be very, very clear. See, there are two standpoints. We always look at things from two standpoints. Absolute standpoint, we look at things from the standpoint of absolute reality. We look at things from the standpoint of, relative standpoint also we have. See, standpoint of the absolute reality, in fact, all these pairs of opposites will resolve. There won't be dukkham, there won't be sukham, there won't be anything in jnanam. They'll all disappear. Punya, papa will not be there. Sukham, dukkham will not be there. What will happen to anything? They'll all go away or what? They'll all be there, but you will remain completely, you will be objective towards them. There'll be perfect objectivity. Pain will not affect a person. Pleasure will not affect a person. All these things will not be there in jnanam. There's no punyam, there's no papam, there's no sukham, there's no dukkham. Why? Because there is no bhoktrutvam. Please understand. In the wake of the knowledge of the self, okay, one understands the self being free from doership. One will understand the fact of self being free from the doership, self being free from enjoyership. We'll understand. Now we do not know what the self is. Therefore, there is kartrutvam, there is bhoktrutvam, there is doership, there is enjoyership because of the self-ignorance. But in the wake of the knowledge of the self, we'll understand self being free from doership and enjoyership. And when you have identity with the self, when you don't have identity with the body-mind complex, you will be with the body, you will be living in the body-mind complex, you will be with the body-mind complex, but still in understanding, relatively I identify myself with the body-mind complex. You can't say, I'm not the body, the body is walking, I'm not walking. It's not for discussion and talking. In mind, in understanding, okay, relatively, I do identify myself with the body-mind complex. I do feel hunger. I do feel thirst. I do need to eat. I do need to drink. I do need to attend to natural calls. Okay, all these things are there. Relatively. But they're not absolute. Okay? Therefore, we see things very clearly. Therefore, relatively, I do have identity. I do have all these things. No doubt. At the same time, but relatively identified, but absolutely, really speaking, I, the self, am the consciousness. When that knowledge becomes ascertained, then the consciousness as such is free from doership, free from enjoyership. Consciousness is not the doer. Consciousness is not the enjoyer. All the actions take place, all the functions take place, all the actions take place, everything exists in consciousness, but consciousness as such is free from doership and enjoyership. When you identify yourself with the consciousness in absolute sense, then you are free from doership and enjoyership. Okay? Relatively there may be, but not absolutely. Therefore, once a person becomes free from doership and enjoyership, then one becomes free from punya and papa. One becomes free from the sukham and dukkham, pains and pleasures. Then you are objective. Okay? Then you are objective. You don't intend. When you say, there is punyam, there is papam, there is sukham, there is dukkham, you are objective towards all of them. You don't say, I have dukkham, I have sukham. That subjectivity, you are subjective. You are objective. This objectivity is possible only in the wake of the jnanam. There there is no sukham and dukkham. All these pairs of opposites also will resolve in knowledge, satyam. But until the jnanam takes place, relatively there is sukham, there is dukkham, there is kartrutvam, there is relative identity. Relatively you identify yourself with the body means complex, therefore relatively there is kartrutvam, there is doership, there is enjoyership, there is sukham, there is pain. And in relatively whatever is there also is not permanent. This relative sukham, relative dukkham, no, relative identity, whatever is there also is not permanent. No, you say it comes and goes. Agama paynaha anityaha tanti dikshasva. This is the fact. No, with relative reality also, the reference to relative reality also, you have to understand this as the fact. What is the fact? They come and go. Agama paynaha anityaha tanti dikshasva. The fact regarding relatively what's the fact? It comes and goes. Absolutely what is there? It is not there. Understand? Comes and goes. Therefore, this is the fact. Once you understand this fact, the standpoint of, you know, relative standpoint, we understand the fact of, you know, they being impermanent, and the absolute standpoint, understand them, understand, oh, being not there, then one can remain unaffected. Such a person, in due course of time, becomes mentally pure and steady, meditative, contemplative. He does have the ascertained vision and he really becomes ready for, he attains amritatvam. Shloka says, amritatvaya kalpate, becomes ready for jnanam. Then he attains jnanam, he becomes free. Therefore, hey Arjuna, when you are interested in amritatvam, you are interested in something which is permanent, everlasting. You are interested in eternal freedom. You are not interested in the time-bound things. Therefore, for the person who is interested in, not interested, who knows the moksha, the eternal happiness, the moksha being the choiceless end, definitely he can weigh up, just accept these paths of opposite which come and go. It's not a problem to endure them. There won't be any problem. So he says that. Then Krishna goes to the next shloka, wherein he talks about the sat, asat, and, you know, mithya things. The verse does not use the word mithya, but still in this context, I have to introduce the word mithya very clearly. Okay?
Nasato vidyate bhavaha, nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayorapi drishtontaha, ubhayorapi drishtontaha, Tvanayostattva-darshibhihi, nasato vidyate bhavah, nasato vidyate bhavah, na bhavo vidyate satah,
na bhavo vidyate satah,
ubhayorapi drishtontaha, ubhayorapi drishtontaha, tvanayostattva-darshibhihi, tvanayostattva-darshibhihi.
So when we understood the lakshartham of tvam being pure consciousness, through the Drishya Viveka Prakriya, we did that here. Okay, there was subject-object analysis. We did distinguish the subject from the object, and we did arrive at the substance of the substantive. I know which, beyond the knowledge that I am, you could not go further. Where do you stop? You go on negating one or the other as an object of knowledge. You arrived at where? The knowledge that I am. And that is the last thing you negate as an object of knowledge. Then what cannot be negated, what remained as abadhitam satyam, was the pure consciousness. And we did understand that consciousness, which as the substance of the substantive I, that consciousness being the substance of all the thoughts also, that consciousness is of the nature of knowing. We understood that consciousness has no beginning. No, that consciousness is of the nature of knowing. Consciousness is of the nature of beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, timelessness. We saw all these things, you should remember, and we also know that consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. Understand? That consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness, because pure consciousness as such does not do any action. When you say consciousness is of the nature of knowing, when you say even knowing is not an action on the part of consciousness, it is surupam of consciousness. Therefore, actionlessness is what? Does consciousness speak? No. Therefore, what is silence? Silence also is the nature of consciousness. Silence is the nature of consciousness. Actionlessness is the nature of consciousness, because there is no action. And that consciousness is in fact the beginningless, endless, changeless reality. So we say it is the substance, this is the existence. That consciousness is the existence of the whole jagat. When you say existence, it is the karanam. When you say it pervades everything. It pervades everything. Therefore, because it pervades everything, it pervades even the space, it pervades the time also. This timelessness is the nature, and spatially also it is limitless. So we say that consciousness, because it pervades everything, that consciousness is indicated by the word Atma. Here I have to tell you the word Brahman and also the Atma. So because it is spatially limitless, time-wise limitless, and object-wise limitless. How it is object-wise limitless, we'll see later on. But still, we'll understand here. Limitlessness, it's its nature. And we say, that is the, so it pervades everything. I want to understand the word pervades everything. So that which pervades everything as the very existence is the Atma. Apno the sarvam iti Atma. And that consciousness is the self, okay? Myself, yourself, and the self of everything. And other than consciousness, anything and everything is a manifestation. Okay, the manifestation of the same Atma is what? Anatma. So, the knowledge that I am is Anatma, understand? And any knowledge is Anatma, the mind is Anatma, all the thoughts are Anatma. Manifestations, the sense powers are anatma, the powers of organs of action are anatma, the pranas are anatma, physical body is anatma, anything external to the body is also anatma. Everything is non-self. Okay, everything is non-self. Therefore, this non-self is anatma, atma and anatma. In fact, atma is not the anatma, but the anatma is nothing but the atma. I can again tell you, water is not the wave, but the wave is nothing but the water. Therefore, consciousness is not the body, but the body is none other than consciousness. Consciousness is not anything, any small part of this body, but everything is nothing but the consciousness. Consciousness is not the pranas, consciousness is not the senses, consciousness is not the powers of organs of action, consciousness is not the mind, but the mind, but the pranas, the organs of action, powers of organs of action, the sense organs, the body, everything is nothing but consciousness. Understand? That's why we don't, everything is, all this, the manifestations are anatma, the consciousness by itself is atma. Therefore, the anatma is atma, but atma is not the anatma. Where is the second thing other than the atma? Okay, it pervades everything. Therefore, here, if this we say, this Atma Chaitanyam, Atma is not dependent on the Anatma for its existence. Whereas Anatma is dependent on the Atma for its existence. Why? Because Anatma is looked upon as an effect, karyam, and Atma is to be understood as the karanam. Really speaking, Atma does not claim itself to be the cause. For our understanding, we say, from the standpoint of the Anatma, we say the Atma is to be understood as the cause, the karanam. Like, the water does not say, I am the cause of the because of the ocean and the waves. But from the standpoint of the waves and the ocean, we understand, okay, existence of water is the existence of the wave. Existence of water is the existence of the ocean. Therefore, water is the existence of the waves and the ocean, because the ocean or the waves do not exist independent of the water. Therefore, that which exists by itself without depending on something else for its existence is the karanam, is to be understood as the cause, and that which exists depending upon something else for its existence is to be understood as the effect. Therefore, we say, what is the cause and what is the effect here? So, from the standpoint of the waves and the ocean, we look at the water as the cause, because water is not dependent on waves or ocean for it to be water, whereas the waves and the ocean are dependent on the water to be waves and the ocean. Therefore, we say the ocean and the waves are the effect, and the water is the cause. Similarly, here also, the whole jagat extends to the body and the physical body. The whole jagat is five elemental model, and this physical body also five elemental, pancha bhautikam, shariram, pancha bhautikam jagat. This is also part of the jagat. Similarly, the mind, similarly the senses, all the elemental products, the entire elemental universe is anatma, including this physical body means complex, except the pure consciousness. Don't think only consciousness sitting here, okay? Consciousness is there in everything, like every wave there is water. Similarly, the avatma pervades the anatma. Atma is not the anatma, but the anatma is nothing but the atma. And atma is not dependent upon the anatma, whereas anatma is dependent on the atma for its existence. Understand? An atma is not subject to change, anatma is subject to change. The change is mistaken for the death. Okay? That's all. So here we are going to see here, and here he is going to make us understand. So the cause, okay? Always say the word sat. In fact, in Upanishad, we talk about the word sat. Sat is used as satyam. Sat or satyam means the truth. The truthfulness in speech also is called satyam. And here we have to understand the reality also is implied by the word satyam. And satyam means the cause. Because the consciousness as the reality being the existence of the whole jagat, because jagat cannot exist independent of consciousness. Does not exist independent of consciousness. Even for the jagat to be, to enjoy the status of being an existent, it must be known. See, simple thing, actually simple thing, very, very simple thing. When does an object exist? When does an object have the status of being an existent? Only if it is known. No, even if I don't know, still the object exists. For you, the object doesn't exist. Okay, for you the object doesn't exist. Therefore, for an object to be existent, to have the status of astitva, okay, to have the status of being an existent, it must be known. Only when it is known, it is existent. If it is not known, it may be there, it is as good as non-existent. Understand? Therefore, for the object to be known, to be existent, it should be known. To be known, it should be perceived. To be perceived, it is dependent on what? The means of knowledge. The means of knowledge is dependent on what? The perceiver. Understand? Therefore, without being perceived, it is as good as non-existent. Understand? Therefore, we can say, what is that here which lends existence? That which lends existence is in fact the cause. Okay, that which is a lent existence, that which borrows existence is as good as the effect. Therefore, the whole jagat is what? Borrows its existence. Borrows existence means what? It has no independent existence. So the jagat has to be seen, known, perceived in five different forms as five different objects. It depends on your senses to be perceived, to be known, to be existent. So who is... what is superior here? What is inferior here? Your senses, the jagat is dependent on the senses to be perceived, to be existent. With it being perceived, it's as non-existent. And your senses are dependent on the mind. And mind is dependent on consciousness. Whereas consciousness is not dependent on the senses or on the mind or on the external jagat to be known, to be perceived. Understand? Therefore we say here, the consciousness is self-existent, it is self-evident. You don't need any evidence for the existence of consciousness. Understand? Suppose the jagat is, for the jagat to be existent, you need an evidence. Jagat is, jagat asti, bhati. What is the evidence? Your five senses are the evidence, okay? Because your sound is there, form is there, color is there, smell is there, taste is there. Because evidence, the five senses are the evidence for the five different objects. And five for the sense powers are evident. What is the evidence? Your knowledge of sense powers is the evidence. You know. Therefore, mind is the evidence and senses become the evident. And mind also is evident. Consciousness is the evidence. And what is the evidence for consciousness? Okay? You are evident. Okay? You are evident. Everything else is evident to you. You are self-evident. Okay, you are self-evident and everything else is evident to you. Therefore, without being, if you are not there, there is no evidence and all these things become what? They are not evident, okay? They are aspects non-evident, non-existent. Therefore, we say, what is the, ultimately, what is the evidence there? The self-evident self is basically what? Pure consciousness. Therefore, here we say, consciousness is not dependent on anything else. But the whole jagat is dependent on the consciousness. So consciousness is as good as the cause. Jagat is as good as the effect, in fact. Therefore, we say, that which exists, okay, exists by itself, without depending on anything else, or something else for its existence, without undergoing any changes. Okay, that which exists in all three periods of time, which does not depend upon something else for its existence, which exists by itself, okay, trikala abadhitam satyam is sat. It is sat. And that sat is what? Consciousness, chaitanyam brahma, chaitanya atma. That is sat. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. There is no non-existence of the bhavaha. Okay, there is no non-existence. The sat has never does the sat have abhava non-existence. Never does it become non-existent. And we are going to see the nature of abhava later in detail. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Okay. So, na sataha abhavaha vidyate. Na sataha abhavaha vidyate. Okay. For the sat, there is no non-existence means what? Sat never becomes a non-existent. Because it is speaking, there is no such thing called non-existence. We are going to see that later on. Okay, there is no such thing called non-existence at all. Okay, so here sataha abhavaha na vidyate. What is sat now? Sat is the takaranta shabda. Therefore, what is the possessive of it? Is sataha. Sataha of the sat. Okay, so of the reality, here sat is the consciousness. Sataha, for the consciousness, there is no such thing called non-existence. Consciousness never become a non-existent thing. Okay, because it is the very existence of all the existents, so it never becomes non-existent. So what is sat here? It is trikala abadhitam. Trishu kaleshu na badhitam bhavati. It's not, you know, negated as something which is not there, which is a non-self. It's always there. Trishu kaleshu. It's always there. It is free from past, present and future. It means it's free from time limitation. It changelessly, it is there. and it does not depend upon something else for its existence, because it is there always, you know, lending existence to everything. All the changes which take place in itself, it is there as the very existence, is the Sat here. So, and here we have to understand, if it is the cause, what sort of cause is it? Okay, if, you know, from the standpoint of the Jagat, we look at this Chaitanya Atma, Chaitanya consciousness, as the Sat, as the Karanam. Therefore, we don't say consciousness is the cause of the universe. We don't say that. The cause of the universe, from the standpoint of the universe, is consciousness. The cause of the universe is consciousness. Why? Because which cause is it? It is not a relative cause, it's an absolute cause. What do you talk about the relative cause? Because anything which exists is dependent on its cause. There are any, okay, there are many causes, there are many effects. So any cause, one thing, from the standpoint of an effect, it becomes a cause, and the cause also is dependent on something else for its existence, so it has another cause. Every cause has its own cause. Therefore, all the causes, any cause which is dependent on some other cause, is said to be the relative cause. So what is one cause which is not dependent on any other cause at all, okay, that which exists by itself? It is uncaused, it is causeless, no? Uncaused, causeless cause is the absolute cause. That is Chaitanyam. It is consciousness. If I say, the door is an effect, the door is made of wood, the wood becomes the cause. Again, even though from the standpoint of the door, I can say wood is the cause. Again, this wood is what? It is from the log of wood. Okay, the log of wood becomes the cause. And log of wood again becomes the cause, becomes the tree. See, one cause, that which is understood as the cause, becomes an effect from the standpoint of another cause. No, therefore we say any cause is a relative cause. It is relatively it becomes a cause, relatively it becomes an effect also. But there is one thing which doesn't have any cause at all, which does not depend upon any other cause for its existence. In fact, it's not cause because it's beginningless. Just beginningless, timeless, therefore it's uncaused, therefore it is causeless, therefore it is the absolute cause. And that absolute cause, being free from time limitation, is the Sat, not depend upon anything else. That's why even yesterday when we chanted that Shiva Stotram, Moola Karanaya Kala Kalate Namah Shivaya, we chanted that, remember Anne? Moola Karanaya Kala Kala He Namah Shivaya Namaha, we chanted that. Moola Karanam means what? Karanam which has no other Karanam. Karananam Karanam, cause of all the causes. When you say that is the consciousness, and that consciousness is the Sat. Is the Sat. Satyam Brahma. Satyam Brahma. So what is a Satyam now? That which is the cause, uncaused, causeless, beginningless, cause of all the causes, which does not depend upon something else for its existence, okay, depending on which everything else exists, is the Satyam, Sat. And that Sat, because it is uncaused, it is also changeless. So we say it is Sat. So Atma is Sat. Atma is Sat here. Satya Atma. And what about the Anatma? Is Anatma is, what is Asat then? Asat, we have one more word, you have to learn, Tucham. Tucham or Asat, both the words are synonyms which mean non-existent. Okay, non-existent. Tucham or Asat. So here we have to understand, there is no such thing called Tucham, there is no such thing called Asat, there is no such thing called non-existent, there is no such thing called non-existence at all, first of all. What is Asat? Tucham, that which does not exist at all. Tall is the Tucham Asat. Then can we say this Jagat, the world is unreal? Asat means, when you say Satya is real, Satya is real, and what about the Asat then? Asat should be unreal. Therefore, then, asat means unreal. But is this word asat then? The whole jagat anatma. This mind, these senses, these pranas, this physical body, the whole jagat, is it not unreal? Is it non-existent? Is it unreal? People said jagat is, the world is unreal. Yeah, we're going to say that. See, the whole jagat is unreal. The people translate it in many books. You might have read it. So it's not asat. So what is asat then? That which does not exist at all is asat. Yeah, that is asat. Therefore, jagat is not asat. So that which is neither sat nor asat. So consciousness is sat, we understood. Atma is sat. Anatma is neither sat nor asat. Then what is it then? The jagat, okay, the universe, including other body minds complex, is not asatya but is mithya. We use the word mithya. There's no equivalent word in any other languages, mithya. So what is mithya? That which is neither sat nor asat, that which was not before, that which will not be later on, that which exists only in present, while existing in the present also, that which exists depending upon the sat first existence, is the mithya. So all the namarupani, all the names and forms are what? Nothing but mithya. So mithya, and mithya is in fact satyam. Satyam is not mithya. Satyam and mithya are not separable. That has become very, very clear. There's something called mithya, sitting separately. No, mithya is nothing but satyam. But satyam is not the mithya. We should understand the mithya as mithya. We mistake the mithya for satyam. That is the problem. Why we do understand, we mistake mithya for satyam? Because we do not know what satyam is. In the wake of the knowledge of the satyam, we understand what satyam is. Then we understand what mithya as mithya. And mithya being non-separate from satyam, then all the problems will resolve. Resolve the mithya in satyam, all problems also are resolved. Dukkham also is resolved. Everything is resolved. Resolving mithya in satyam. Understand? Mithya does not exist outside of satyam. We don't need to say, try to establish here. Oh, mithya is something, mithya. We have to understand mithya as mithya. Understand the nature of mithya. What is mithya? If we don't mistake the mithya for satyam, then there's no problem. We mistake the mithya for satyam, that is the problem. So what is the solution now? Only solution. Understand what is satyam, and then you understand what mithya is, then you'll understand mithya as mithya, then you understand mithya being non-separate from satyam, then all the problems are solved. Therefore, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Jagat is Mithya. There is no such thing called Asat or Tucham. Where is Tucham sitting separately? There is no such thing called Tucham. That is why to make it very clear, to understand what is Tucham. Okay, what is non-existence? Now we talk about Shastras. Other Shastram talks about four types of Abhavaha, you know. Atyanta Abhavaha, absolute non-existence. Anyonya Abhavaha, you know, mutual non-existence. Prag Abhavaha, exist non-existence before the creation of something. And then Pradhams Abhavaha, non-existence after the destruction of something. Understand? Talk about the Abhavas. Prag Abhavaha, Pradhams Abhavaha, Anyonya Abhavaha, Atyanta Abhavaha. Okay? Atyanta bhavaha, that which does not exist at all. I'll tell you one thing here. We are going to see, this is very interesting thing, okay? We are going to say that where is non-existence. That's a different thing. We have this. To explain what is non-existence, there's one word, I think I referred to this once sometime when I was talking to you. No. Vandhya putraha. Have I ever told you? Vandhya putraha yati. Vandhya putraha yati. Vandhya means a barren woman who never gave birth to a son. and his her son, okay, Vandya Putraha Yati, the son of a woman who never gave birth to any child, okay, any baby, and he is walking. Vandya Putraha Yati. How is he walking? No, he says no. That Mruga Trishnambasi Snataha. He had his shower, okay? He had his bath where Mruga Trishnambasi in mirage water. Having had his bath in mirage water, Mruga Trishnambas means water. Mruga Trishnambasi Snataha, having had his bath in mirage water, and no, holding what? Kaf Pushpadhari, holding the flower of space, okay? The whole space is a flower. Kaf Pushpadhari, Shasha Shringa Dharaha, Hashaha means rabbit, and holding the bow made of the rabbit's horn. Okay? We may wonder whether in India we have rabbits with horns. But no, there also we don't have. So, Shasha Shringa Dharaha, okay? Anyway, Kapushpadhari, Mrigatishna Vasisnataha, Vandyaputraha. Yeah, this description of the Vandyaputra, who is a non-existent son. Okay, which is possible? Nothing is possible. Okay, this is called. No such thing exists. This is what is asat. This is what is tucham. That which does not exist at all. Therefore, you cannot say this jagat does not exist at all. Okay, it is improper to translate the world is unreal. And our Swamiji always, anybody says the world is unreal, and put him to starvation for 2 days. And the world is existent or not. Okay, make him starve for 2 days, don't give him any food, then he will know. Then for him, there is no hunger. Everything is unreal, you see. Therefore, it is not unreal. Cannot say that it has some reality. Then we say, we talk about this two satyams, vyavaharikam satyam or vyavaharika satta and paramarthikam satyam. Okay, the paramarthikam satyam is the absolute reality, which is sat, the real. And vyavaharikam satyam is what? Empirical reality. What is empirically real is in fact mithya. Understand? And what is absolutely real is satyam. It should be very clear. So this verse is Atma satyam and the jagat is Brahma satyam and the jagat is mithya. When you say jagat mithya, the whole thing, body, mind, complex, everything goes with the jagat. Is mithya. And this Atma, there's no such thing called non-existence for this Atma, and there's no such thing called existence, but independent existence for this mithya. Now, when it's with reference to ocean and wave, we can say ocean, the nama rupas are mithya, the wave, the nama rupa is a mithya, and water is a satyam. So, we see with reference to a clay pot, and the clay is satyam, the namarupa, the pot is the mithya. And does the mithya, the namarupa, exist outside of satyam, the clay? No. Which ornament does exist outside of the gold is satyam? Its cause. Therefore, it doesn't have independent existence. That is why we say, there is no abhavaha. Na sataha abhavaha na vidyate, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. In fact, non-existence has no existence. Okay, non-existence does not exist. Understand? Non-existence has no existence. That means what? Non-existent does not exist at all. That means there's no such thing called non-existence. There is no such thing called non-existence. I'll make it very clear, don't worry. There's no such thing called non-existence. It's only a relative word. Okay, when you say non-existence, it is a relative term. It's always, no, when you say the pot was there, okay, a pot is, when you say it's made of, before the pot was made, there was non-existence of the pot. It is a relative term. The pot was not there before it was made. Okay, the pot will not be there after it is broken. okay, prag abhavaha, pradhams abhavaha, when you say, because abhava, so you have to say, before what, after what. Because while existing, the pot is, no? Against bhava. So the abhava, with abhava is always adjective. Adjective. Why? Because, understand, ghatasya abhavaha, prak, okay, before it was made, there is non-existence. After it is destroyed, there is non-existence. Means, it is a relative term. Relative term. So remove, okay, we don't talk about the ghata. Where is existence? There is no independent existence. There is no such thing called existence at all, by itself. So existence itself has no, the non-existence does not exist, it's a relative term. Understand? By itself does not exist. Therefore, there is no such thing called non-existence. There is only existence, which is Satyam, which is Atma, which is consciousness, which is the uncaused, causeless cause of the whole Jagat, which exists by itself. It is not dependent upon a Mithya of Jagat for its existence. And the whole Jagat is a manifestation, Namarupa, which is, okay, the Mithya, which exists in the present, which was not there before. Before it is manifestation, it was an unmanifest condition. And when it is manifest, it is there as the Jagat. Again it becomes unmanifest. Okay, again it is there. Okay, it comes and goes. So that which was not there before, that which will not be there in future, which exists in present, and while existing also, it is dependent on the Atma for its existence, no, is what? Mithya. Mithya is Satyam. Where is the non-existence? Understand? Mithya is Satyam. Satyam is independent. Mithya is dependent. Mithya is Satyam, Satyatma. Reduce everything into one. Satyam Brahma, Satyatma. Brahman, which is Atma. Which is the Self. Therefore, Ubhayoho Antaha. Sataha Abhavaha na Vidyate. Asataha Bhavaha na Vidyate. Okay, the non-existence has no existence means what? There is no such thing called non-existence. See, don't get confused, okay? Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. The existence, we understand, the cause of the universe, the Atma, the consciousness, because consciousness, we say existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Listen carefully. Existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. I'll give an example again. Existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. Why? Without the water, ocean cannot exist. Therefore, existence of water is the existence of the ocean. And now we can say, water is the existence of the ocean. Where does the ocean exist? Not the name of the given form which does not exist outside of the water. Therefore, water is the existence of the ocean. Similarly, existence of consciousness is the existence of the mind, senses and the whole perceived Jagat. Understand? Therefore, consciousness is the existence of the universe. Okay? Consciousness is the existence of the universe. Where does the universe exist? In consciousness. Jagat does not exist outside of awareness, consciousness, Chaitanyam, Brahma. Sat. Therefore, Sat. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Abhavaha. There is no, okay, never does the consciousness become a non-existent thing, because consciousness is the very existence of the existent universe. Okay, sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Is it clear? Satah, for the Sat, Abhavah, absence, the non-existence or non-being, na vidyate is not there. That means Sat never comes to an end, never disappears, never becomes absent, never becomes absent, never disappears. Understand? Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Then, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. That means what? Asataha bhavaha na vidyate means there is no such thing called non-existence. You understand what is there is only existence, and that existence is always there. Consciousness is the existence, and that exists always. Doesn't become non-existent, doesn't disappear. But there is no such thing called non-existence. Asataha bhavaha na vidyate. There is no non-existence. Is it clear? They are repeated now. So we don't need to worry about it. Worry about this. Asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Asat has no existence means what? There is no such thing called non-existence. What is there is only existence. And that existence is the consciousness. Existence alone exists. Existence alone exists as the existent. Existing universe. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Asataha na bhavaha na vidyate. Ubhayoho api antaha drishtaha. Okay, ubhayorapi drishtaha, antaha drishtaha. Ubhayorapi drishtontaha tu anayoho tattva darshibhihi. Anayoho ubhayoho antaha drishtaha. Oh, this is what is sat. Okay, what is existence? And what is non-existence? What is Sat and what is Asat? What is Mithya? Reduce everything in the whole Jagat is Mithya, which is nothing but Satyam. And Satyam is not Mithya. Satya Atma, Satyam Brahma, Satyam the consciousness, the existence of the universe is not the Jagat. But the Jagat, the Mithya Jagat is nothing but the manifestation of Satyam Brahma. Understand? There is no such thing called non-existence. And Ubhayoho Antaha, Anayoho Ubhayoho Antaha. Why? Because dual, no? Okay? Therefore it's Anayoho, Sataha and Asataha, okay? Ubhayoho of this, the end of this, the truth of this, Antaha means end. This is the final truth of the existence and the non-existence, okay? About this, antaha drishtaha, very, very clearly, doubtlessly seen, understood, okay, and ascertained and established, proved by the tattva darshibihi, by the seers of the truth. Okay, tattva darshi, the one who has seen the truth. The one who has seen the truth means one who has known the truth, one who knows the self, Surupma of the Atma as pure consciousness, and one who has understood the Lakshartha of the Tvam as being the Lakshartha of the Tat, thereby one has understood this Mithya Jagat being non-separate from the Satyam, thereby one has understood there is no such thing called an Abhavaha, okay, the non-existence at all, and such a person, we see, says Tattva Darshi. Tattvam drishtam yena, the one, you know, is a tattva darshi, the jnani, jnani nam, darshane, abhav, asatiti, something is not there. Tattva darshi bihi antaha drishtaha, it has been very, very clearly understood. Okay, we can say, I'll talk about this abhavas again later on because it's not really for us important, but still I had to make it very clear that I do it in Upanishad class anyway. I had to talk about the abhavas, all four abhavas, as part of the teaching, we'll do it. But still, I'll do it here also. I can do it. But still, in this context, we have to understand very clearly. We always talk about the non-existence. The very word non-existence is a relative term. It does not exist by itself. Understand? And existence is something exists by itself. Understand? How does it exist? As very surupam. Of what? Chaitanyam. You can understand the sub-meaning of the word existence also. Whatever you find the meaning of the word existence in any English dictionary and any other dictionary is a relative meaning, what you understand. Only when you understand what consciousness is, you understand the real meaning of the word existence, like the word consciousness. What you understand in the dictionary, you can't understand really. It cannot really make you understand. Okay, that is the nature of the very word existence, the substance existence. Understand? So when you say Sat Chit Atma, that Chit and Atma that we'll see later on, but Sat Chit Anantam, Sat Chit Ananda, all these words when they talk, the word Sat there means the existence. Existence exists by itself. Understand? That means the consciousness is the existence. It exists by itself. That's why we have to say, now we say, Karanasya Astitvam, okay? The existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Therefore, cause is the existence of the effect. Understand? The effect becomes the existent. Cause becomes the existence. Very known. Understand? So, that existence, the conscious, the pure consciousness, which is of the nature of existence. We have to remember that now. Consciousness is of the nature of knowing, consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness, consciousness is of the nature of timelessness, consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. We have understood here, consciousness is of the nature of existence. Satyam. Understand? And that consciousness, there is no such thing called a non-existence of the consciousness. Understand? In fact, it's like saying, I'm not there. If you say, consciousness is not there, or satyam is not there, it's like saying, I'm not there. Then what treatment has to be given? That is a different thing. Therefore, sataha abhavaha na vidyate, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Okay, asat means non-existence. One more word for asat is tuccham. Tuccham means non-existence. And sat means existence. The existence here is the nature of consciousness. Consciousness is the sat. Okay? It's always there. And really speaking, this jagat is neither sat nor asat. It is a mithya. Mithya means what? It exists in the present, it wouldn't have been in the past, it will not be in future, it is only in the present. While existing also, it is dependent on satyam for its existence, that is mithya. And mithya jagat is satyam brahma. Satyam brahman is not the mithya jagat. Okay? Ubhayoho anayoho ubhayoho antaha very clearly drishtaha kaihi tattu darshibihi. Okay, the people who have known the self are the knowers of the truth, and they have understood very clearly what is bhavaha, what is sat, what is asat. They have understood what is sat, what is asat. They have understood. They know also know the jagat being mithya, also they have understood very clearly. Listen, so we'll read the bhashyam now. Is there any doubt? No question. Why?
tell you this, we can talk different ways. If we can talk for hours and months. David Mahodaya, do you want to say anything?
It's a very clear and it's very different from what the translations give you. Because it doesn't give this.
Yeah, translations are direct, literal translations of the words, okay. I tell you, read in this translation. The unreal. First word itself is. The most confusing translation, anyway. But have I made it clear or not?
Yes, you have. It is very clear.
Okay. It's a very beautiful argument on this abhavaha, okay? That we'll do it. Not now. I'll reserve it for next class. Okay. Na asataha.
Na asataha.
So asataha, no? Asataha is what? Sat, like asat. Opposite of sat is asat. So, shashti ekvachane asataha. No? Asataha. For the asat, what is that? Avidyamanasya.
Avidyamanasya.
Shita ushna adehe. Sakaranasya.
Sakaranasya.
Na vidyate.
Na vidyate.
Nasti.
Nasti.
Bhavaha.
Bhavana.
Bhavaha, forgive, gives the meaning bhavanam. Na astita.
Astita.
Shankara gives two meanings for bhavaha. Okay. Now what is bhavaha? He says bhavaha. He says bhavanam. And also astita. Nita is added to that, it becomes noun, like asmita, astita, noun, you just add ta, it becomes noun. So, he says, sita ushnade, ushnadeyaha, ushnadehe, sakaranasya, sakaranam, with the cause, okay, sakaranam, they have the cause, they do not exist independently. This is Shitam or Ushnam, all these things do not exist independently. All the experience you have, do they exist by themselves? No. Now, without the experiencer, there is no experience possible. Without the experience, where is the experienced? No, they are all dependent on the Satyam basically. Sakaranasya na vidyate nasti bhavaha. So, all these things are what? Nothing. Shitam, pain or pleasure, and all the pain and all these patches of opposites which really result, you know, which cause ultimately sukham or dukkham, pain or pleasure, all of them do not exist by themselves. Okay? There's no satyam. They don't satyam, but they're all mithya. They're all dependent. This is sakaranam. Sakaranam with the cause. Okay? With the cause means what? They exist depending on the satyam. Dependent on the satyam. Nahi.
Nahi.
So, therefore, what happens now? That means when we say Sita Ushnadehe Sakaranasya, all these pairs of opposites and the pain and pleasure which are caused by all of them, they're all what? Mithya. Understand? They're all mithya. The mithya is mistaken for what? Satyam. Real. Understand? That is the problem. Real means which appears to be very much real. Real means it is taken as if it's there forever. Where do they exist? Suppose the pain is there, pleasure is there. In fact, first we say, I have pain and I have pleasure. Does the pain or the pleasure exist independent of you? What is pain? Okay, reduce all the pairs of opposites now. Honor or dishonor. Jayaha, parajayaha, parajayaha, apajayaha. You know, mana, apamanam, shita, ushnam. All these things reduce to sukham and dukkham. What is pain? A state of mind. What is pleasure? A state of mind. So, pleasure is known to you or not? It is known to you. Pleasure is known to you or not? Known to you. Pain is known to you. Pleasure is known to you. Anything known to you is what? Thought. Does it exist outside of you? No. Okay? Being known to you, the known is non-separate from the knower. Okay, known is non-separate from the knowledge, and knowledge is non-separate from the knower. Knower is basically the consciousness. What? Okay, anything, say, any object of knowledge is what? It exists only in awareness, in consciousness. Therefore, it's like saying, you know, every wave is water, like the pain also is consciousness, pleasure also is consciousness. I am the knowledge that I, the self, am the consciousness. Therefore, we can say everything is there. Understand? And which is, because how can you say, I am, I have it. In fact, pain is me, pleasure also is me. Because pain does not exist outside of me, pleasure is not exist outside of me. So if you say, I, the self, am the consciousness, where can you place? We have negated everything as non-self. Everything known, anything known, idantaya, grihyamana, no, avagamyamana, avagamyate, anything which is known and understood by, you know, indicated by any pronoun, you know very well, except the first person singular pronoun, everything is reduced as an object of knowledge. You know, left only one thing, I, the subject, and any object, no, is anything which is an object of knowledge is what? Is not outside of the consciousness. Anything object of knowledge is not outside of knowledge. Knowledge is not outside of consciousness. Nothing exists outside of consciousness. And where does the I exist now? I, the self, am the consciousness. Therefore, everything is me. Okay? Then in this understanding, in that understanding, which is sakaranasya, you know, bhavaha na vidyate, no, they do not have, they do not have reality, the mithya. Mithya, what is mithya should be mistaken for this satyam. The mithya does not exist outside of satyam, independent of satyam. Satyam is not dependent on the mithya, but the mithya is mistaken for the satyam. That is the actual problem here. So here he says, Nahi, Shitoshnadi, Sakaranam, Pramanaihi, Nirupyamanam, Vastu, Satbhavati. So, he says here, Shita Ushnadi, Sakaranam, Pramanaihi Nirupyamanam, Vastu Sadbhavati. Okay, Shita Ushnadi are all Nirupyamanam. They are all established, proved, no? Through what? Through the senses. Okay, Sadbhavati. They are all dependent on what? No, they are all dependent on the instruments of knowledge. No, Sakaranam, they are not Sat. We mistake the mithya experiences for satya atma. Nahi satyam bhavati, sat bhavati. They do not become the sat. Vikaraha,
hi,
saha, vikarascha abhicharati. Vikarascha vyabhicharati. In fact, they're all subject to change. When you say subject to change, it is what? Mithya. So sat is not subject to change. We know consciousness is the sat, and consciousness has no abhava. Consciousness is the very bhavaha of the whole jagat. Consciousness, the sat, is the very bhavaha which lends bhavaha to everything else. Okay, the consciousness, the sat, is the bhavaha which lends bhavaha, which I'm repeating it again, the Sanskrit word, existence to the whole jagat. Tasya sataha abhavaha nasti. But all these things, the jagat, no, all the experiences, sukha dukha experiences, all the pairs of opposites, you know, all the experiences are mithya. The experience, you know, the experience, you know, which is emotional, they're all not like gross things. The jagat, external jagat is mithya, we know very well. The physical body is mithya, we know very well. What about the experiences? What about the mind? Subtle manifestation is also mithya. Mind is part of jagat or not? Mind is part of jagat. Because I said that is where the problem for us. We all look at jagat is mithya means we look at always like this. Forget this. To start from here. And start from here to see the whole jagat as mithya. And as we forget about this one, okay? And at least this we can remember. What about the mind? We are stuck with the mind, okay? I tell you, the mind is as good a mithya as anything else. Okay? Mind also is mithya. And sukham is mithya, dukkham is mithya, because sukham and dukkham are nothing but two different states of mind. Understand? This is mithya. That is what is revealed here. And then mithya is satyam. When you look at mithya is satyam, they have been resolved. This is what is understood. Oh, wave is water. When you say wave has been waveness, wave has been resolved in water. Once you know this water being the truth, the wave is understood as the water, then wave is resolved in water. This is what is resolving. It's not really physically something grossly doing something. It is only in terms of understanding you resolve it. Similarly, these different states of mind are thought waves which rise, okay, thought waves. They also have been resolved in what? Its existence, bhavaha, the consciousness. Because it's like, it is the, oh, there's nothing but just surfacing of the stillness. And for which external situations become the nimitta. And there is an order involved in that function. Why they come and they come and go. So, here he says, therefore, pramanaihi nirupyamanam vastu na sat bhavati. They are dependent on what? Depend on the pramanam. Depend on the, in fact, dependent on the senses. Understand? Therefore what? They are not sat. They do not exist independently. Therefore they are not sat. So all these pain and pleasure, you know, which are dependent. Pain and pleasure can be triggered, can surface only if there is contact of senses with the sense objects. If there is in deep sleep state, there is no pain and pleasure. For the pain to surface, for the pleasure to surface also, there must be some contact. There must be perception. There must be senses should come in contact with sense objects, etc. For them to surface. Without that, there cannot be pain and pleasure. Therefore, pramanehi nirupyamanam nahi sadbhavati. Therefore, they do not exist by themselves. There is no such thing called pain. There is no such thing called pleasure which exists by itself. They are all mithya. Mithya, I don't say there is no pain at all. No, there is pain. There is pleasure, there is pain, but no, relative. Understand? It does not exist by itself. It's not sat. But it is mithya. We can't say it is asat. It is not there, we cannot say. So that is repeated. Vikaraha hi.
Vikaraha
hi. Saha. Vikarascha vyabhicharati. So here it is subject to, they are all subject to change, no? Subject to vikaraha, subject to changes. So here yatha ghatadi samsthanam chakshusha nirupyamanam mrid vyatirekena anupalabdhehe asat tatha sarvaha vikaraha karana vyatirekena anupalabdhehe asat asan. Vikaraha has a masculine word, so it's asan. Janma, प्रद्धम साभ्याम प्राक ऊर्ध्वम च अनुपलब्धेः कार्यस्य घटादेः मृदादिकारणस्य च तत् कारणव्यतिरेकेण अनुपलब्धेः असत्त्वम्. सो वाट् ही सेज़ इस् इन् दिस् कान्टेक्स्ट् सपोज् वेन् यु से the pot is, and suppose it's a pot means in India, okay, all is clay pot, okay, there's no other pot. And clay pot, okay, that's why mrid. Mrid vyatirekena gatasya anupalabdihi, okay. Suppose we can never imagine a clay pot without the clay. So definitely when the pot is, when you say, definitely clay is. No, clay is, therefore pot is. You can't say pot is, therefore the clay is. The clay is, therefore the pot is. But the existence of the clay is the existence of the pot. In fact, the existence of the pot is the clay is the existence of the pot. And the pot does not exist outside of the clay or independent of the clay. Whereas the clay can be without being a pot. Therefore, clay is not dependent on the pot here. Therefore, with reference to clay pot, we can say clay is satyam and pot is mithya. But pot is not asat. Pot is not tucham. Pot, okay? So, pataha, you can say pots, okay? Pots has no non-existence, really speaking, not a non-existent thing. And therefore, pot is existent, okay? Pot is existent. And here, suppose we can say, here abhavaha, when the pot is made, when you say, before the creation, before the coming into existence of the pot, there was, we can say, there is abhavaha. There is non-existence. What is not? The existence is not, non-existence wasn't there. Okay? The pot was non-existent, you can say. The pot was non-existent before the creation of it. And when the pot is broken, we can say pot again, what there is? Pradhvamsaha means destruction. The pot is destroyed. Then after the destruction of the pot, there is abhavaha. It's called pradhvamsa abhavaha. Non-existence after the destruction of the pot, okay? There is non-existence of the pot. It's called pradhvamsa abhavaha. And we say before the pot is existent, you can't say there is abhava. There is bhavaha. Pot is bhavaha. Then we can say pot, when you say this existence of the pot, that existence of the pot is what actually existence of the clay. Even then, the pot does not exist by itself. It exists depending upon the clay. There is only existence of the clay. It is the existence of the pot. Therefore, clay is the existence and pot is existent. But before it was made, there is non-existence of the pot. This is called prak abhavaha. Non-existence of the pot. Non-existence of the pot after the destruction, non-existence of the pot before it was made. It's called prak abhavaha and pradhvamsa abhavaha. We talk about these two abhavas. Therefore, we cannot say this the existence wasn't there. Okay, there was existence, we say. These people who argue, really they say there is something called non-existence. How can you say there's no non-existence? And here you have to say, no, no, the non-existence has no existence because, listen carefully, because it is always relative. Always relative. Really speaking, there is no such thing called non-existence. What is there is only existence. And that existence always exists. That is why it is called satyam. And what is apparently existent is mithya. There are only two things, satyam and mithya. Satyam is the mithya, satyam is not the mithya, but mithya is satyam, nothing but the satyam. This should not be forgotten. We don't need to talk about the abhava at all. So understand what is satyam, resolve the mithya in satyam, then you can remain unaffected by the mithya. When you mistake mithya for the satyam, then you become really affected. That is what is dukkham. Mistaking the mithya for satyam is in fact, that is how the smallness is centered on the I. The smallness is not centered on I, there is no problem at all. The smallness is centered on something else, there is no problem. If we are very happy to say somebody is small, other person, in terms of something, if you want to say talk about something, somebody else, a third person, we are not affected by it. To say that other person doesn't know, other person is not that big, other person is not this thing, how small the other person is, in saying that, but we are very happy. The smallness centered on somebody else doesn't cause any problem. The smallness centered on self is the problem. Therefore, even the smallness is not the problem. The smallness centered on the self is the problem. The smallness centered on the self is because of this, what? The mithya being mistaken for the satyam. It is satyam, atma being satyam is understood. The mithya is understood as the mithya. Okay, we don't mistake mithya for the satyam. The smallness centered on the I also is what? One becomes free, no? That error becomes corrected. The smallness centered on I becomes corrected. That is why here Krishna has to talk about asataha bhavaha na vidyate, sataha bhavaha na vidyate, ubayoho api drishtaha antaha. Tattva-darshibihi drishtaha. Why should he talk about it? This is the truth. So if you are tattva-darshi, then you should know these things. It is not possible for the one who has seen this truth to lament about anything. Understand? For this smallness to be resolved, the only way is mithya should be understood as mithya. For the mithya not to be mistaken for satyam, satyam should be known. And what is satyam? Consciousness is the satyam. What is the nature of the consciousness? It is the existence of the jagat. What is jagat? Jagat is mithya. It exists depending upon the satya atma. Is it clear? You want to ask anything here?
Later.
Okay, tell me.
Well, okay. My question is, could you just give us just an actual translation of these?
Yeah, I'm going to give that.
You're going to give us?
Okay. I'm asking because I want to finish the topic. Before I go to this, now I want to make it very clear.
No.
Because the context, we shouldn't mistake, you see, because I'm talking about Hatta and Mithya, and we had to talk about connected the topic, you see, the problem that is discussed here. If I don't really bring in here, the Satya Mithya discussion will remain separately, and our problem will remain separately. Like, Krishna addressing Arjuna. What is he addressing for? Because he has to help him now.
A small point. You said that the dukkham comes from perceptual observation.
Instrumental. The perception becomes instrumental for dukkham to surface, I said.
And I was thinking, couldn't dukkham also come from thinking? I mean, you don't have to perceive, you can think of something.
Yeah, thinking also involves perception, thought perception, isn't it? Yeah. It's just a sort of perception, not external perception, but still as perception. When you think of something, what is thought is perceived by the thinker.
So it's the other thing.
Yeah, then this also involves a pop. There's still this perception. There's not a gross perception, sense perception. We suppose, and whatever you think of, again, is dependent on what? Already which has been perceived and stored.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Perceived and stored.
No, whatever has been perceived through the senses and felt and experienced and which remains stored in the mind again is perceived and then... That is the scripture. Now, why I didn't go ahead with that? Why I stopped here? Because this is the very important verse. You know, many people confused it. This is the verse which is highly confused by many people. And then the translation and all the meanings and all those things. Why I stopped here? Because it's not simply talking about the... This is a verse of, you know, definition which talks about what is real, what is unreal and what is mithya. What is satyam, what is tucham, what is asatya, no, and what is mithya. It has to be very clear. And here this has to be applied for what? For our... what has been already discussed, what has been being discussed here. That is why I stopped and then I just asked the question here.
It is a curious point. It doesn't mention mithya. It mentions asat and asat.
Yeah.
I mean, what you've said is extremely clear, no problem. But
it is not mentioned here. Yeah, yeah. That's why the verse is not mentioned. It's understood.
Mithya is asat. Or asat. No, actually, asat doesn't really exist.
No. This is the problem. Many people, the asat, you know, really just under that I gave that word. These are the verses really which talk about the non-existence. Non-existence means when you say something, how will you translate it then? We have to give a word because the jagat should not be reduced as asat.
Because the way I've read this verse before today is I've always seen the pot as non-existent because it's relative, and you've explained that that is wrong. The pot is existent, it as dependent on
satyam,
and it exists in the moment. It has a transitory existence.
Yeah.
And then there's a time...
Because there's only satyam in the form of...
Mithya.
Right? So my body is mithya, but I don't not exist because I'm only existence. I'm only satyam. In other words, the body doesn't exist without satyam.
Absolutely. 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 No, what happens, this, see, the many people, they take this, they don't use the word as mithya. Mithya, the word has been introduced. We didn't introduce this word. Shankaracharya himself introduced this word, mithya, okay? Even though this doesn't come here in this context, it is used as mithya. That's why here we have to explain this word, we use it from some other source also. Why? Because if we don't use the word mithya, we don't tell what jagat is mithya, jagan mithya, this is Upanishad, okay? Jagan Brahma Satyam, jagan mithya, that word is there. The Shruti says that. If we don't say that, and these people will take the jagat as asat. And then, suppose you say jagat is unreal, now we can, unreal means what? Okay, then if you say it is not there at all. And you cannot explain what is non-existence.
It can't be unreal without being real.
In the context of Arjuna, I mean, it's no good saying to him his pain at having to kill Drona and Bhishma isn't real. Because it's real to him, and that's... But it's mithya, isn't it?
No, it is not real. When you say mithya, you can't say it's real and mithya both.
It's mithya. It's mithya. He's experiencing.
Any experience is mithya. Any experience for Arjuna or for anybody is mithya.
But it's not negating it, like saying it doesn't exist.
It's relatively real.
Yeah.
Relatively, it's okay. Relatively real. But what I'm saying is mithya. This any experience is mithya. And anything which is mithya exists within the realm of an order. There's a time, there's a place, there's a kala, desha, vartamana, everything is involved there. And that exists within the realm of an order, it comes and goes. The mithya, you know, appears and disappears in time. Within the realm of an order. But satyam is always there, a substratum, an underlying reality. The satyam, substratum it is. Therefore, but what here is, once we know the Satyam is there, this Aham is resolved in Satyam. Okay? Then the Mithya will be resolved in Satyam. Mithya resolved in Satyam is not centered on I, it doesn't affect you. You become, see, because the Mithya, the pain or pleasure, the pain afflicts, you know, you, because it's centered on you. You say, I have pain, then it's a problem.
But how do you get from the theory of knowing that? This embodiment is experiencing pain. Ow. Yeah. Now, theoretically, from what I understand, that's Nietzsche.
There's no such thing called theory. And practice and knowledge and all those things.
Yes,
it's only understanding. It's only enhancing clarity. Okay?
Yes.
There is some understanding. Mm. We started understanding. First, we are only analyzing bhavaha, abhavaha, sat, asat. I also include one, two more words, okay? Tuchyam, which is not there in shlokam. And I also introduce the other word, mithya. And to make you understand how this, all, when you say jagat, when you say universe, I always include all the experiences. The pain and pleasure which are born of, you know, born of the result and this also called all the pairs of opposites. And all those experiences are what now? Mithya. That also jagat. Jagat means at least what you see outside. Your mind is the first jagat, okay? In fact, the whole jagat is nothing outside of mind, in fact, really speaking. The mind is the jagat. Mind also is part of the jagat. So this all mithya, you understand. There's no such thing called theoretical knowledge. This is not theory. We understand, we started understanding, we're understanding. As we understand, the clarity enhances. There's no such thing called theory, okay? Still it has to become clear. I can say it has to become clearer and clearer. There's no such thing called theory and later on practicing. You know, there's no such thing called practicing. Only clarity enhances. You will understand.
Well, I think I understand, but I don't know. There is a difference between thinking.
No. One, there's no doubt. The doubt itself is a proof. We have yet to understand. If you said that I have a doubt, that means it means I have yet to understand.
Yes.
We have to understand. So there'll be understanding. I'm saying that's why, for the sake of understanding only, we started. That's why I stopped in between. I stopped. And I just stopped this. I didn't proceed further. I didn't want to talk about the abhavas today. I decided, no, if I talk too much, it will be too much. It will go above.
So the doubting is the mithya and the understanding is the satyam, right?
There can't be any doubt. Understanding is mithya, satyam, doubt is mithya, everything is mithya, okay? The consciousness alone is satyam. Okay? Any state of mind is mithya.
The doubt is very useful because it means that understanding isn't there yet. That's
all fine. Everything is useful. Okay? It is not useful here. Doubt is useful. Everything is useful. See what I'm saying? See, take only the mind now. When you say the whole jagat is mithya, what about the mind? The knowledge is mithya, in fact. I'm not talking about the consciousness, okay? When you say the knowledge of anything is mithya, ignorance of anything is mithya, the pain is mithya, pleasure is mithya, anger is mithya, jealousy is mithya, hatred is mithya, all different states of mind is what? Different thought waves. Okay, the whole mind is mithya. The whole mind is mithya because whole mind is manifestation. Anatma. It is object of knowledge. It is known to you. The mind does not exist by itself. Anger, there's no such thing called anger without you. Okay? Without being known. Where is the anger? The anger does not exist by itself. Jealousy does not exist by itself. Envy does not exist by itself. I didn't know the teacher will teach these things. I'm just telling you Hathiyam. You stop the class and I'm telling you all these states of mind, different, you have experience of all these things. Do they exist by themselves? Where is anger without the experiencer? Where is the experience? No experience is outside of the experiencer. Jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, Understand? Fear, anxiety, knowledge, ignorance, okay, confusion, restlessness, agitation, all these different things, all what are they experienced or not? Experienced. They're all experienced. Objects of knowledge, they're all known. Do they exist independent of the experiencer? Do they exist outside of the exist knowledge? If they say they do not exist independent of the experiencer, they're all experienced. No experienced exists independent of the experiencer. Therefore, they're not outside of the experience. No experience is outside of consciousness. Every experience is consciousness, which is satyam. That is why consciousness cannot be experienced. Understand? Like anything else. Consciousness is the substratum, the existence of the all the experiences. Consciousness has to be understood in the context of, you know, with reference to all, there's a substratum of all the experiences. Any experience happens where? Any knowledge happens where? Because any experience is object of knowledge. Anything which is an object of knowledge is what? Does not exist outside of consciousness.
So consciousness is the existence of doubt.
Consciousness is the existence of everything.
Right.
Yeah. Everything. Therefore, here what he says is, why he stopped here, he suddenly doesn't talk about the whole jagat as satucham. He just suddenly come to this sakaranasya, no, sita ushna adehe, sita ushna adi, ushna adehe, all these pairs of opposites, they are dependent, they have sakaranam, they have the cause, they depend on something else, perception, etc. Okay, well, they're dependent means what? They don't have independent existence, therefore they're all mithya. They are not asat, because there is experience of pain. We do cry for some time. There is experience of pleasure. We do love for some time. Okay, there is pain and there is pleasure. Okay, they are experienced. But are they satyam? Definitely not. Dependent. They don't exist by themselves. But are they tucham? No, they are very much experienced. Then what are they then? Mithya. But for us, it becomes the time of when you experience, it becomes very much real. That alone, pain alone exists in pain. In pleasure, you are not there, okay? Then pleasure alone is there for some time. And in pain, other than pain, nothing is there. And that's why very pain becomes very much real. Why? Because it is aham. It becomes your possession. If you say pain is me, okay, there's no pain. Say, I have pain, there is pain. Because there's no objectivity. There's no objectivity. How can there be objectivity? Because when you say, I have, then because you are subjective then. When you look at everything as manifestation, no, as then it is, you don't get affected by it. I, the self, when you say, okay, when you say, I, the self, I am the consciousness, okay, then what about everything else? Everything is, the knowledge that I am is object of knowledge. Everything is object of knowledge. Anything which is object of knowledge is what? Does not exist outside of knowledge, and knowledge just is not outside of consciousness. Everything is consciousness. Just the surfacing of those things. That is what is mithya. So mind is mithya. That is the main thing is we have to understand here. Mind is mithya. So mithya means what? Mithya means it was not there before. It will not be there afterwards. But it comes into being. It exists in the present. While existing also, it doesn't have independent existence. It exists depending on consciousness. Satyam vastu, satya vastu, sadatma. While existing also, so what it has, that means anything which exists as mithya exists within the realm of order. This is what is very important, what no other translation you cannot find anywhere. This order business, I think you have to understand very clearly. Anything exists within, as mithya exists within the realm of an order. When you say there is an order, there is no disorder. we may not understand how orderly it is. But in fact, there's no disorder in the order, okay? Anything which seems to be disorderly also is within the realm of an order. That means there is a cause behind everything. Mithya Jagat, whatever happens also, is no, there's a cause behind everything. It's just right, only surfacing of things. Suppose the seed was sown sometime before, are not sown or not, just thrown away sometimes, you wouldn't have noticed when the seed was thrown. Suddenly you see one day the sprout of the seed. Okay? But you may not remember, you may not even know that the seed was thrown, not even sown, okay, just the thrown. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you see the sprout, but you can't relate to the seed being there behind the sprout. You see only the sprout. You may not be able to connect it, but there cannot be a sprout without the seed. Okay? And that is what they mean. There is the cause behind it, and there is an order. If at all the sprout comes, how long is it going to be there? It's going to be there as long as it can. It has to be, and it has to come to an, and it has to undergo changes. Okay? That is the nature of the Mithya Jagat. It comes and goes. Do we have any say over this order? We don't have any say over this Mithya Jagat which exists within the realm of an order. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have any. When you say, I am there sitting here, then I try to do something to control or to change. When you resolve yourself as a part of the Satyam, then where is the problem? That's what Shastram says. And it's only everything. The aham all is resolved as satyam, ultimately. And all the problems related to the aham, okay, the mind, all held as satyam. They are understood as mithya, resolve the mithya in satyam, and they understand the order. This is absolutely, very clearly, this is the mature way of looking at things. Okay, everything is in the realm of order. And who is getting affected by what? Who affects what? Who affects who? It's just the resolving the aham. Aham is resolved. There's no problem at all. As long as aham is there, no, and the problem seems to be there. That is why, in this context, Krishna, why he is talking about tvam? Why I am stopped here? Because we are discussing the tvam padartha. So in this kind, if I didn't want to go to the other thing, because tvam pada, you shouldn't forget, we are interested in, we have to understand everything as the lakshartham of the, with reference to the lakshartham of the tvam. Lakshartha of the tvam is Shuddha Chaitanyam, and that Chaitanyam is what? Satyam. That Satyam never, it has no beginning, it has no end, it has the nature of knowing, it has the nature of changelessness. And therefore, that tasya abhavaha na vidyate. That is a sat, that this only sat. Lakshartha of the tvam is the only sat. In fact, all that is, there is only that sat. There is no second thing other than that sat. All that which seems to be, which seem to be many, all this variety and plurality, all that is here is, no, is nothing but the mithya, also is what? That only sat. And tasya sataha abhavaha na vidyate. So what are you worrying about? Tasya abhavaha na vidyate. You are worried about this, sat has no abhava. If you are worried about this immaturity, understand the fact. What is the fact here? Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Sat never comes to an end. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. You are worried about sat being existent. Sataha abhavaha nasti. Therefore, I am worried if you say, then we can't help. Okay? Krishna says, I can't help you, Arjuna. Okay? It's understood, okay? It's implied there. Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Tvampadasya lakshartaha shuddha chaitanya madasti. Tasya sattattad. Eva lakshartatvena yad avagamyate shuddha chaitanyatvena, the shuddha chaitanya rupena tasya chaitanyasya tat chaitanyam eva sat tasya chaitanyasya abhavaha sataha na bhavaha na vidyate. There's no non-existence. That means there's no beginning, there's no end. Chitrikala abhaditam. It is always there. Are you worried about the consciousness being always there? If there is that, does that worry you? Does that, is it no bothering? Eh?
Deeply.
Pinch him, man. Then he says, asata, then don't talk about non-existence. Okay? Non-existence itself is not there. What about the non-existence of things? Okay? There's no such thing called non-existence at all. Then why do you talk about the non-existence of things? Is it clear? Then what is there then? If there's no such thing called non-existence, you don't need to talk about the non-existence of things also, you don't need to talk about. Then, what about this then? Which is this, the apparent existence. What is it apparently existing? Is the mithya. No, I don't like this mithya. That also you can't say. Understand the fact. What is mithya? See, fact, understand what is mithya. Is either sat nor asat, then that is mithya, and mithya means it has no beginning, okay? It has beginning, it has an end, well, existing between, before it's, no, in between beginning and end also, it undergoes a lot of changes, and well, and for that, for those changes, the coming into existence, or for the, you know, coming to an end, no, and also for this, to undergo changes, the mithyayaha, arambaha mithyayaha, no? Antaha mithyayaha, all these the vikaras, for all the changes, they all take place where? Only within the realm of the satya atma, the consciousness. Yes, we'll discuss it. No problem, it will become very, very, very clear. I'm repeating it. It should become clear. It's not outside of that. Therefore, and we don't talk about all this, the gross things, okay? We just take only the mind here. That is why he talks about the sukha, dukkha, na shita ushna deha, why he reduced to shita ushnam. In fact, he had left that also, he had just gone to sukha dukkha de, sukhasya dukkhasya cha. He had just talked about sukham and dukkham. This sukham also, dukkham also, sukham and dukkham are nothing but two different experiences, okay? Objects of experience, in fact, they different states of mind, they are part of, they are also mithya. Mithya means what? Mithya is nothing but satyam. Mithya is nothing but satyam. This experience, this state of mind is not outside of consciousness. That has to become very, very clear. Then once this mithya being satyam is understood, then mithya cannot affect. Who is affected here? Okay, the knowledge that I am, all when you say, I, the self, am the consciousness, and everything that is there is consciousness. When you say, where is this? What affects what? Who is affected by what? Tvampada lakshyartha should be remembered, and the Tvampada lakshyartha alone is satyam. Other than, no, everything else is what now? Mithya, the sukha dukkha experiences. That is why he has to stop here, and then he starts with that sukha dukkha. He talks about it there. So he says, yatha ghatadi samsthanam chakshusha nirupyamanam mrid vyatirekena anupalabdehe asat tatha sarvaha vikaraha karana vyatirekena anupalabdehe asan. So what he says there is actually, the word mithya should be again, he in this context, asla should be understood as mithya. Actually, the karana vyatirekena, without the cause, the part has no existence. Vyatireka means actually without that, independent of the cause, the ghata has no existence. If you say there's no, see,
karanasya abhave karyasya abhavaha. If there is no cause, then you can say, it's called anyonya bhava, okay? When the, in the absence of one, the other also becomes what? Absent. If there is no, suppose you remove the clay from there, okay? In the absence of clay, the pot also becomes what? Absent. Then you can say it is not there at all, then that is non-existent. Then you can say there is asat, okay? But that's not true here. Because there's always something. The pot doesn't exist by itself at all. For the pot to be there must be clay. Karana vyatirekena, without the karanam, there's no effect which exists without the cause. If you say the effect alone exists by itself, without depending upon any cause, you cannot say that. Is it clear? Without the cause. There is no cause. Only if it alone exists. I removed the clay, pot alone exists there. Pot remains still, pot alone is there. I have taken only the clay from there. If you say, it is not possible. So, karana vyatirekena, without the cause, the effect does not exist. Cannot exist. If cause is not there, there is no effect also. Now then we can say, both are not there. Cause also is not there, effect also is not there, nothing is there, that's called non-existence, okay? There's no such thing here. There's no such thing. It's always, when you say Jagat is, any experience is, please understand here, any experience is, it means what? Experience means experienced, because the experiencer is, the experiencer, the experienced, all the three are what? Nothing but consciousness. Mm-hmm. Nothing is outside of consciousness. Therefore, all the three are mithya, and the consciousness is the satyam. Okay? The triputi is called triputi. And that was mithya. If we say both are not there, then nothing is there, you can say it is asat. There is no such thing called vyatirekena, ghatasya upasthanam, the mridya vyatirekena. Without the clay, the pot alone exists, we cannot say. It is not possible. You know, anyway, this has to continue in the next class. I knew I wanted to do the whole even this week, this was I wanted to do last class. How? I was too greedy. And I shouldn't say that. I'm too over-ambitious anyway, doesn't matter. But I know, because why I stopped here, because your question was right, always Jagat means, not simply talking about, okay, experience, there's some cause, effect, water, ocean, examples are given, water is satyam, ocean is mithya, ocean is the effect, what is mithya, what is satyam, the definitions, that which exists by itself is the satyam, that which exists depending upon satyam is mithya, very fine. We always forget about how to apply that. Mm. Understand? Mm. And here, we are not, the whole Jagat is mithya, that's fine, understood. Brahma Satyam Jagat mithya, that's also fine. Here, we have to come and stop here. What is that really bothers us is the mind. Mm. Okay? In the form of what? The pain. What is that pain? What is the pleasure? Okay? Understand them. Both are mithya. Both come and go. Because mithya means comes and goes. Coming into existence also, in consciousness it happens. It exists in, it comes into being in consciousness. It exists in consciousness. It dissolves in consciousness. Nothing takes place outside of consciousness. Nothing can take place outside of consciousness. This, what is this? The repeated listening and talking about it is sort of ascertaining, trying to ascertain what is being said here. Now, Shankaracharya will say later on all in his Bhashyam, he'll talk about it. We'll read this Bhashyam again. This part of the Bhashyam I have not explained. I just read it out. I will read it again. The whole Bhashyam. The Bhashyam of this verse, we'll read every word and we'll stop and explain again in the next class. I won't go like that, okay? I will never leave a word without explaining, without properly bringing it out. Today, I just
even the doing, to even explain the meaning of the verse itself, it took so long. I think I made it clear.
Yeah.
I think I made it very clear. And the Bhashyam part of it, we'll see the whole Bhashyam, and with the, you know, I explained all four Abhavas, and there's a beautiful thing, how the Abhava, the, you know, non-existence of non-existence, how it is established, we'll see. It's a very interesting thing, really you should know. It's all making the mind subtle. Now these things make the mind subtle, make you think. It will make you think and see, that's how mind becomes subtle. Subtler it becomes, it sees something differently. And the clarity enhances, slightly vagueness is removed. That is the beauty of the teaching, that you have to see. Because it's all this takaranta shabda, and then now shashti ekavachanam is given. Because when you, especially the read, people always, the translations really, already when you read the translation, really confuses more. There's no non-being of the being, being of the non-being. What do you understand by reading this? You know, the translation, no? You don't even understand what you mean by being and non-being here. Is it clear? That is why, first, what is existence? What is the meaning of the existence with reference to the Vedanta Shastram? Not with reference to any English dictionary. That you know now. So existence is the Sat which exists by itself. Self-existent. That which is self-existent, that which lends existence to everything, that which exists is not dependent on anything else for its existence, depending on which everything else exists, that is the existence. And that is pure consciousness. That is the meaning of the word Sat. We have to see the other two words, Chit and Ananda. Okay, we'll see in the next class. And there we'll understand the contents of the word very clearly. It's okay? Sataha, say it fast, you know, fast. Sataha.
Sataha.
Abhavaha.
Na
vidyate.
Asataha.
Bhavaha na vidyate. Anayoho. Sadasatoho. Ubhayoho. Antaha. Tattva darshibihi. Drishtaha. Mayapi. Drishtavyaha. Sorry, you had to remove it.
What?
I said, Maya api drashtavya. It has been seen by me as well. I said, it has been seen by seers of the truth. It has to be seen by me. It has been known by me as well. How can I miss the vision? Why should we miss the vision? What others had? Now, if Bhagavan has blessed us with the same intelligence, so we also seek Bhagavan's grace now through Medha Suktam also we are asking for. Why do you think I have taught you Medha Suktam? Understand? Because it's all sharpness of intelligence. We can see. I tell you, if rishis had the vision, that vision cannot be deprived. Okay? For us also, that vision should become true to our understanding. We all should bless the same vision, and really we pray. Pray for it is finished. Bhagavan should bless us with that vision. We should all become Tattva Darshinaha. Tattva Darshis. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tatsate. I think it's better to say, instead of saying Brahm, Jagan Mithya, Manaha Mithya, Dukkham Mithya, okay? Sukham Mithya, Dukkham Mithya, Manaha Mithya, Jnanam Mithya, Ajnanam Mithya, the Manaha Mithya. Don't say non-asat, okay?
Would you like, is the word apparent reasonable for Mithya?
Yeah, apparent, we do use the word apparent. So, what does Sanskrit word, because when you say apparent, so apparent existence, seeming existence, sometimes is mistaken for, said to be tucham sometimes. People mistake it. That's why we use the word, we repeat it, mithya. Yeah, you can say that. Absolute and apparent.
Apparent, there for something.
Yeah. Seeming.
You use the word dependent as well. Mm. Dependent. You have independent existence. Dependent existence. Mitya.
Dependent is not an existence. Existent, we say.
Something can't dependent. Be unless it's perceived, right?
Dependent becomes existent. Existent. The noun is, see, the existent when you say becomes adjective, okay? We reduce everything as just a noun. Existence, no? We don't even say dependent existence, we just say just the dependent is existent.